podcast.
We're your hosts. I'm Abby.
And I'm Brianna, coming to you from the mailbox on Sequoia.
This is Season 1, Episode 6, Run for Your Wife, or as we're calling this podcast episode, Do You Believe in Miracles?
The Disney Plus bio for this episode is, it's an excitement-filled day.
We want to start this episode off with some good news. We're back! We had to take some time off due to busy schedules and personal issues, but we are back to a regular schedule of an episode every other week. We hope you enjoy this episode.
So we start at the Dunphy's house with Phil and Claire, and it's the first day back to school. And Claire says to Luke, first day of school and you're already behind?
Yeah.
But I love her face there. Like, it's so funny. There's, like, no humor in it whatsoever. She's being serious.
She's being genuine. Honest. She's like, yep, I mean, you're my kid and I know this about you, right?
Yeah.
Like, she's that's like, so funny.
Classic Luke.
Literally.
Oh my goodness. And then, I love this. Luke explains, like, his whole project is, like, keeping a journal over the summer.
And how he's already behind.
Oh my gosh. And then she's like, so what do you got? And he's like, June 21st, I found a stick. June 22nd, that's it.
Yeah, and then she's like, that's it? And Luke's like, it was a really cool stick. And Phil's like, he's right, looks like a snake.
I love how they share this fascination over a stick.
They also just share other traits, like they're so similar, right?
Okay, literally though, Luke is miniature Phil, like in every way. And I know we've said this like 6 million times, but it's actually true. Like, they did this perfectly, like, casting-wise, character development-wise.
Yeah,
like
the actors.
Actors, exactly, right? And what they're able to achieve within their acting as well.
Like, yeah.
That, and same with how both Alex and Haley share portions of Claire.
Yeah, I mean, Luke has a bit of Claire, too,
right? Yeah, Luke has Claire, too, and, like, I mean, obviously, Alex and Haley have Phil as well. Yeah. And those become evident as the season goes, but not season, I guess whole show, right?
Yeah, but it's also really cool that, like, the actors and everything were able to incorporate that and actually seem like a real family when they're definitely not. They're all, like, very different people, but they were all able to incorporate things that were similar to the adult actors and their characters. I think it's also, like, the writers and everything, like, they were able to make the character development really good, and the director was able to get that character development and, like, similarities between the family.
It's really cool. I totally see that, but it's also, like, they probably hadn't really met each other before they filmed the first episode. That probably would have been one of their big introductions to each other. And yet they were a family from day one, in a sense.
Yeah. I mean, they would have had read-throughs, but still.
Yeah, but it's not like they would have really, really, like, acted together.
Yeah, exactly.
So then my Luke moment is after they're talking about the stick, Phil and Luke, Phil and Luke both look at Claire at the same time and take a bite of cereal. I've never noticed that before.
Me neither.
Oh my goodness.
Like, that was really silly. Yeah. I was watching that and I was like, oh my gosh. Like, they just, that's so funny. They're literally the exact same time.
And it shows the almost connection between the two of them and how they're different but the same and how Luke is Phil.
Yeah, exactly. And then, so then we go to, like, a little couch moment and Phil's like, yeah, from the moment we get up at 7, it's go, go, go. And Claire's like, I get up at 6. And Phil mockingly is like, I get up at 5. And then Claire's like, no, seriously, I get up at 6. And Phil's like, that's you? I thought we had a raccoon. Like, how did you not know what time your wife got up? Like, buddy.
It's like, I love that part so much, but at the same time, I'm kind of thinking, would Phil not go and check if he thought it was a raccoon?
Yeah, would he just let the raccoon rampage his house?
His house, exactly. And then also, would he not think, hey, I just got out up, and my wife
isn't in bed.
Downstairs, lunch is already packed and she's fully dressed for the day. Like, would that not surprise him in the least?
It's very Phil of him.
Oh, it totally is. So then we move on to Jan Gloria.
Yeah. So when we first start the scene, like, Gloria's, like, getting ready for school and everything. Well, packing Manny's lunch. And she's speaking in Spanish to Jay. And he just is completely unfazed. And he's just like, yep, they grow up. Like, he has no clue what she's saying. He just, I mean, he probably has a guess that she's saying something, because she's talking about how, like, oh, Manny's going off to school, I'm so sad, right? Mm-hmm. So he probably has a guess that she's being like, oh, they're so, grow up so fast or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, he doesn't actually know Spanish, and he's just like, yep, they grow up. Like, it's kind of funny how he's just like, okay, whatever.
I feel like that could almost be looked at in two ways. One, it's him just sort of, like, being agreeable, Or two, it's him just completely tuning her out and doing his own thing, making, like, the smile and nod kind of comment.
Yeah, yeah. Along with that, we see Gloria's, like, outfit, and I'm not a huge fan of the shirt that she's wearing. Like, it's just not the greatest shirt. It's, like, blue and yellow, but, like, splatter paint. And it's like off the shoulder with ruffles, which is kind of cute, but it's not a very attractive shirt on anyone else. But on her, it looks great. Like, she makes it look really good. You know, it's the kind of thing where, like, it wouldn't look good on certain people, but mm-hmm. it looks good on her. And, like, it wouldn't look good, you know, if... there's this site where you can, like, buy clothes that were worn on TV yes, shows. Yes,
I've seen that.
And so, like, if somebody bought that shirt and wore it in real life, it would be like, oh my god. Right? Yeah. But, like, on Gloria, you're kind of like, oh, that's actually a nice shirt. Yeah. And, like, in the show, she makes it look good, right?
And I feel like that's a lot of her clothing, though, because I've looked yeah. through that site, and I'll be like, oh, like, Alex wore that, oh, Haley wore that, oh, Gloria wore that, or, like, whoever it is, and I'll be like, something Haley's worn, and I'm like, yeah, that's actually cute, I could actually see myself wearing that in real mm-hmm. life, and then some of the things Gloria's worn, I'm like, but that looks nothing like what it looked like on her in the show.
Yeah, like, it's even on the models. On her. Even on the models, it kind of is like, who would wear that yeah. kind of thing, right? Which is like, oh, that's not fun.
It's kind of interesting to realize, though, right? Like,
yeah.
And I guess that's why they were able to choose such a flamboyant color scheme for her, an outfit scheme, right? Like, mm-hmm. if you look at Claire, and this is also a character thing, but Claire's outfits are very plain.
And basic, yeah. Yeah. Just like, you know, it'll just be like a long sleeve striped shirt and jeans, right? Whereas exactly. Gloria's wearing like ruffled dresses and heels.
Exactly.
But like sometimes dresses are not that attractive.
But they always look pretty on her.
Oh my gosh, they always look good on her, even if it's like the ugliest pattern.
Yeah.
Yeah, like she always wears very crazy pattern stuff and she makes it look good. Yeah. Anyways, I don't even know. But yeah, also, in that scene, I was looking at the house and the art and the houses definitely change over time, all of them, right? But Jay's house kind of looks bare and so different in the first season, or at least first couple episodes while they're getting set up and everything, right? Because, like, there's no art on the walls, the counters are a bit different, like, there's just so many changes that happen throughout the run of the show that, like, by the end, you're like, oh my gosh, that's their house, that's crazy, right? And if you go back to the start, you're like, wow, it's so different.
It's almost like throughout the show, they kind of gain a sense of what these characters would be like as a real family, mm-hmm. and therefore decorate their walls and like add in extra little pieces of furniture and little touches that could be something that Gloria would add to yeah, her house.
Exactly, like flowers or certain paintings and mm-hmm. stuff. Yeah, definitely.
The painting of the feet comes up later on.
God. And that's not Gloria.
No, that's Jay.
Anyway, so this is my Haley's outfit. So I really like the color of Jay's shirt. It's like a lavender, like a purpley. It's really lovely color, and it actually looks really good on him. And it's kind of nice to see him in different colors instead of just like blue and black and brown and gray. Like instead of just like the classic, you know, colors that you'd wear to work. Like he's wearing like nice, fun colors, and yeah. And I think he wears like a red polo at some point later, yeah. right? Like it's nice that he's like wearing different colors and not just like boring colors.
Mm-hmm. And especially to see the contrast between like him and Gloria, we sort of begin to realize she's like the vibrant, outgoing one, he's the more, like, calm, easygoing one. And
yeah.
when we see him in something a bit more bright, it's kind of like, oh, that's a nice change, right?
Yeah.
Something that the viewer's eye would automatically go to.
Exactly, yeah. Anyways, so then Manny finally comes downstairs.
And the first thing Jay says to Manny is my mall walkers moment. Jay says, it looks like an old Christmas tree skirt. Like, referring to Manny's poncho. And I'm just thinking, okay, Jay, you can't say that. Like, yeah. that is Manny's
culture.
Yeah. As a traditional piece of clothing from his culture.
Yeah.
And here
and
Jay
Gloria's.
Is. And Gloria's. Exactly. And Gloria's. Right? And here Jay is just mocking it. But I love how after Jay is pretty terrible to Manny about this.
Yep.
Gloria comes into the picture and is like, you look very handsome. To Manny. So I like how she's kind of able to offset Jay's negativity, in a sense.
Yeah. No, Jay is just always negative.
Well, when it comes to things like this, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and so then after, Gloria is all like, oh, you're gonna, you know, you look so handsome, it'll be so great. Jay's just like, so, I'm gonna drive him to school, or is he gonna ride his burro? That is my mall walkers moment, because that is also kind of culturally insensitive to Gloria and Manny, and it's kind of like, really, Jay? Like, honestly, I feel like in the first couple seasons, I guess this isn't fully true, but he's mostly the one who makes, like, mall walkers comments, but Cam makes a couple.
I would say Cam and Claire as well. I would say all the characters have a fair sense of, or I guess not a fair sense, but, like, they have their fair share of
mall walkers moments. But I also think that's because of the writers and producers and stuff. Like, they obviously didn't write the lines, right?
So Yes. Like, yeah. As time progresses, right, and they get into, like, the 2015-2020s as opposed to 2009, which is this season.
Yeah.
So do the characters' attitudes towards certain cultural sort of things.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, so I think next we're on to Tucker Pritchett.
Yes. And so Kim and Mitch.
When we finally see Lily, the afro? Like, she's wearing an afro.
Yeah.
On a baby. Like, that looked, it was really funny. Like, yeah. Yeah, I just was not expecting that.
And this is actually my Alex's books moment, because Mitchell says to Cam, oh, is she dressed like Donna Summers? And Cam says, no, she's clearly dressed as Diana Ross. So, Donna Summers and Diana Ross are... So, Donna Summers is an American singer and songwriter. And Diana Ross is an American singer and actress. I love how then after that, Cam just looks at Lily and is like, how is Daddy not seeing that?
Yeah, like, it's so obvious, right?
Totally. Sure.
Anyways, so this is kind of when we're first introduced to Cam using Lily as a model. And then it continues on for a couple more seasons. I mean, I think he kind of stops after this one until, spoiler alert, she gets her ears pierced, and then he starts up again with that.
Yeah,
I think then, like, later on, he does it more. I don't know, it goes throughout the seasons. But, I mean, it finally stops in season 5, I believe, when Lily has her meltdown about it, because she doesn't want to do it anymore, and then is, again, spoiler alert, replaced with Baby Joe. So then, they go to, like, a little couch moment, except not on a couch, because they sit on chairs for some reason. Like, they have a perfectly good couch. Why don't they sit on a couch?
Yeah, I always found that interesting, because, I mean, sometimes Phil and Claire will sit at their kind of, like, dining room.
Yeah!
But Gloria and Jay are always on the couch, I'm pretty sure. Claire and Phil are usually on the couch, but then Mitch and Cam are always in the chairs in that kind of, like, area leading hallway kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like, why don't they just sit on their couch?
Yeah, that was always really interesting.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah. Anyways, so then they're talking about it, and Mitchell's like, yeah, there are days when Lily has more costume changes than Cher.
And then Cam's comment to this is just amazing. He says, Cher! How could I forget Cher? That's embarrassing. And this is my imitating Lily moment from Mitchell, when he says, that's embarrassing.
Yeah, and then, like, the incredulous look on his face and, like, the tone of his voice, how he's just kind of like, buddy, and he's just like, it's really it's funny. Like,
total judging vibes right there.
Yeah, literally.
All right, so then I think we have our intro.
Yeah.
And we move back to Claire and Phil.
Yeah.
To have Alex walking down the stairs, lugging her cello behind her.
Oh, gosh.
And, oh, Phil's comment, you moving out? Is so funny because Phil's the jokester, right? He's saying that as a joke. Which Alex responds to with, 5 more years. I love how she doesn't even take his comment as a joke, and she just is like, yep, five years, that's it.
Very realistically, like, yep, this is what's gonna happen, right? Like, yeah. And so then, Claire's all like, yeah, why did you have to play the cello or whatever, right? And so then Alex is like, yeah, cello is more in demand in university orchestras. And then Haley's like, you know, it's not in demand. And then Alex is like, oh, what? But Haley, like, barely stops to let her say it, right? And then Haley's like, yeah, girls who play in university orchestras. That's my imitating Lily moment, because, like, that's such a sassy comeback. But of course, like, of course Haley would say it.
It's so Haley. That's really what it is. It's just so Haley. But at the same time, I'm like, okay, Alex kind of set her up for that one, right? Yep. As she comes down, it's like very in demand in university orchestras. And then as Haley starts her sentence, she's like, what?
Yeah, right? Like, I think she knew it was going to happen. Because well, then at the end, she's like, oh, ha ha ha, right? Like,
and by the tone of her voice, she's more like, what? So she kind of knows it's coming, but at the same time, she handed Haley the ammo.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
definitely.
Literally. And then Claire looks over at Phil as he offers to help Alex bring her cello out to the car to see the fact that he's in his underwear, which we learn covers more than his bathing suit. This makes me wonder, what does his bathing suit look like? Is he one of those Speedo guys?
Ew.
I sure hope not. That would not be a good look.
Oh my gosh. Okay, spoiler alert. That kind of reminds me of when
the Tidy Whitey episode.
Yeah, Cam talks about like picturing Jay in Tidy Whiteys, and and Jay's like, next time you picture me, leave the underwear out of it.
But yeah.
Also, like, leave the underwear out of it? Like,
I think he means with clothing on.
I know. But that kind of sounds bad. Like,
just kind of. Yeah.
Anyways. And so then we go to talking about Haley's driving lessons.
Oh, Haley is a horrific driver.
Oh, gosh.
It's very, very sad.
Yeah. So Phil's kind of like, one of the really standard rules of the road is we want to keep a safe distance between us and the car in front of it.
I love Phil's next line, which is my glorious vocab line. And that is not safe right there. Not safe. But literally, though, Ty Burrell's delivery of that.
Oh, my gosh.
I applaud him. That was absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah. And just the way that he is super scared but also super calm while he's driving with her.
Yes.
Like, it's just like, because he's all like, oh my god, that's not safe, but also he's like really calm when he's like instructing her. Oh my gosh. Despite, or unlike Claire. Okay, merge, stop yelling. Like, that's Claire and Haley together.
Oh,
that's
my gosh.
Like crazy.
But that's also just their entire relationship, right? Like, if you take a look back at how they've acted together, that's them.
And if you take a look forward,
exactly.
Together, yeah. But then along with that, it kind of looks like they're actually driving on a road, not like a green screen, right? Like, maybe it's the way that the sunlight shines down or how the real background is moving behind them or whatever, but it doesn't look fake.
Yeah, I didn't really notice that. I wasn't really paying attention to the background, but now I'm curious about, like, going back and really focusing on the finer details, in a sense, which I kind of have been doing as we're, you know, writing our notes for our podcast episodes and everything.
Yeah, I mean, like, other than Haley, like, you know, kind of not really looking in front of her, it kind of could actually be, like, that they're actually driving in a car. And I think in some TV shows, they actually are for real driving in a car.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I think, and like, cause some of them you can tell that it's so obviously green screened.
Oh,
right.
Yes.
Cause the actor's just kind of sitting there. Like, sometimes it's also just bad acting. Anyways. But yeah, also sometimes it does seem like they're actually driving in a car,
mm-hmm.
which might be true. And that would be kind of cool.
Yes.
Anyways. So then this is my glorious vocab. So Phil says, this navigation system's all messed up. It thinks we're in a park. Oh my God. It is a park. Away from the kids. Aim for the lake. The look of realization on his face, and then his reaction, and, like, his voice, and the way he is acting is just so amazing. And honestly, Ty Burrell is just such a good actor, which I know you basically just said, but I feel like I've never really appreciated that through all my years of watching Modern Family and listening to it and everything. I feel like I've never really fully appreciated how great of actors they really are in this show, and especially Ty Burrell. He's awesome.
Yes, I completely agree. Like, sometimes I just sort of look at the characters as their characters. I don't look at them as people, but when I do look at them as people, like the actors,
yeah,
I can't believe how amazing they are as actors and as
just like people who like got these roles, and the kids, like,
yes,
how they grow and change as actors and everything,
and they
they're
grow,
learning on set kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Like,
they grow and change into their characters, almost.
Exactly.
Which is really interesting.
Yeah. And so then, this also kind of shows the difference between their driving lessons. So, Phil's and Claire's driving lessons to Haley, and their teaching techniques. And it kind of reminds me of my driving lessons. My parents both had different ways of teaching me. Both good ways, and I'm a great driver now, but...
Definitely a great driver.
I am.
Definitely.
But yeah, and so then we go back to the couch, after, like, all these little scenes, and Claire says, it makes you realize we're all just hanging on by a thread. After all their close calls with Haley, the way that they grasp hands with each other and hold tight, like, they're holding on for dear life, like, I love you, I hope we don't die from our daughter.
I never noticed this. Like, I didn't realize that they grasped hands or the significance of that.
Yeah.
I just, now that I notice it, it's so hilarious. Like,
yeah.
Everything about it. All right, and then we move on to Jay and Gloria. Jay is so incredibly condescending towards Gloria, and I can't get over it. And I mean, other characters are condescending towards others,
yeah,
right? But not to the same extent. I feel like, yeah, Jay is the most condescending towards Gloria.
Which is silly, because she's his gorgeous wife.
Yeah.
Like, Gloria says, the last thing man needs on his first day of school is you undermelting his confidence. Yeah, and then Jay's, like, undermining. And Gloria's like, and now you're doing it to me, too. This kind of, like, first brings up the fact that Gloria still pronounces some words wrong, despite her English being really good and, like, her trying really hard as the character, obviously. And they don't really go into depth about it, again, about, like, her saying things wrong and, like, how it can be interesting. Or not interesting, but, like, how it can be a problem sometimes. Mm-hmm. Until, like, season 2, the Halloween episode, which is episode 6. And Jay makes some comment to Gloria, and it becomes, like, a whole big thing, and she gets mad at him about it and tries to do, like, an American accent, and everything. But, yeah, so they don't really go much into it again until later on. I mean, there's little digs and stuff, but nothing huge.
Yeah, nothing huge. Jay makes a comment towards Manny's poncho, to Gloria, saying that the only place people should wear ponchos are in Niagara Falls and on log rides. So, fun little tidbit of a story here. Recently, when we went to Disneyland, was that last year, I would say?
Yeah, 2022? Yeah,
something like that. Ago? I'm not sure. Anyways, we were in line for Splash Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And there were these, I think it was a group of four, or it was a young couple, I don't really remember. And they came along, they'd been on the ride already, and they offered us their ponchos that they had worn on the log ride. And so there was, like, these plastic ponchos, right, that you'd buy at, like, some gift shop. And we turned them down because we're strong enough to get a little bit of water on us.
Yeah, I mean, if I was wearing a nice outfit or something,
yes,
I wouldn't have minded, right? And spoiler alert, like, when they went to the Disney episode, if I were Gloria wearing those shoes, yes, and that outfit, I probably would have worn a poncho.
Didn't she wear one?
I think so, yeah.
I feel like she would wear one.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, that's really funny. I forgot about that.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I just found it really funny that a little, like, connection there.
A personal connection.
Sure.
Like school.
To
like
log ride. Personal
connection to your life.
Oh my gosh. God. Log rides.
Log rides.
That's my connection.
Literally. And so then, they're talking about the poncho and stuff, right? And so Gloria's like, I wear all sorts of daring outfits all the time, and people admire them because I wear them with the confidence. And Jay's like, I'm sure it's the confidence they're admiring.
Totally the confidence.
Like, Gloria is a gorgeous woman, and everyone knows that. This line kind of reminds me of the Barbie movie. Especially how they had that line in there about, I don't know, they were saying, like, you know, Barbie's gonna look old and grow and not look pretty anymore.
Yeah, all that sort of stuff.
If she becomes human or whatever. And then they have that, like, editor's cut line added in there, and it's like, if you wanted to make this point, you shouldn't have cast Margot Robbie. And that's kind of how I feel about, like, Gloria. Like,
with she's everything.
Just, yeah, just with everything. Like, yeah. So then I think we go back to Tucker Pritchett. So
yes, yes. And this is when Mitchell is dancing with Lily, and he unfortunately happens to whack her head on the board, and his line, as Cam's like, oh my goodness, was that her head? Him like, I think if it were her head, she would be, as Lily starts to cry, yeah, it's her head.
Yeah. And before that, as he's like, before he's hit her head, as he's dancing with her, this is my Luke moment. So we get a side shot of him as he's grabbing Lily from Cam, and I noticed there was something in his ear. So this is around, like, 4:38, if you want to go back and take a look. Anyways, so I did some research, and no, he does not wear hearing aids, right? So I was like, so what could it be then? So maybe it's like a sound thing, like a little earbud to, like, listen to somebody talking. I don't know. Some people think it's to hear notes from the director.
Yeah.
But the show said that they never did that. So some other theories are that he was wearing it to listen to the music so he knew when to hit her head, because they probably wouldn't have that music until post-production, right?
I guess it would be the sound effects that he'd be listening to then, because the song doesn't have a clear pattern.
Yeah, but maybe they had an idea of when in the song he was going to hit her head, right?
That's true.
Or he was wearing it to hear the thump, right? Or some people think it was because that the baby who's playing Lily was really fussy at the time, so that he could, like, block her out or something, because, like, she would have been screaming right in his ear if she was crying, I guess. I mean, I don't know about that one, though. I mostly agree with the first two. But yeah, that's my look moment. I never noticed that, and I was just watching it, and I saw that, and I was like, what is in his ear?
I never noticed that either until you pointed it out to me, and I was watching the episode again. I saw that, and I was like, oh, that is interesting. Like, I would be interested to hear what you guys think. So if you have any theories about what it could possibly be, please reach out to us and let us know, because I'm curious.
Yeah. And so then my camp flamboyance is Mitchell hitting Lily's head. So you can obviously tell that he's purposely moving towards the wall. And I feel that if you were actually doing it with a real baby, you would stay in the middle of the room and be more aware of your surroundings if you're, like, throwing your baby around kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, lifting them up.
Child.
Yeah, right? Like, you'd probably be more aware and careful. And it's very obvious that he's moving closer. And, like, they do a kind of, like, a side shot, so, like, the wall's kind of in the way.
Yeah.
So you can't really see if he actually hits her head or not. And that's probably why she's wearing a huge wig.
Probably.
So he can get her close, but not too close.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
To not actually injure her.
Yeah. I mean, I don't actually know, though. I've never danced with a baby. I do not have a child. So I wouldn't know for a fact. But, I mean, I assume that, you know, most people would try to be a little more careful.
Yeah, but as they start to, like, try to get her to feel better and stuff, I love how Cam comes back into the room with chocolate on his face. And his excuse is, I made a judgment call. You weren't there!
Yeah. And so then Mitchell's like, we should try to make her laugh to make sure she's okay, right? So he's like, oh, where's Doggy? And then Cam's like, oh, Doggy. Oh, here Doggy is, right? And so then Mitchell holds Doggy above Lily, and he's like, moo. And I, like, every other time I've watched it, I've just kind of been kind of like, okay. But this time, as I was watching it, I actually kind of laughed. Like, it's actually kind of funny, because he does it with, like, a completely straight face, and it's the kind of thing that you would have to think about and actually understand and, like, know stuff about the world and about, you know, how cows and dogs mm-hmm. make different sounds, that kind of thing, right? So it really doesn't work for a baby on so many levels.
Like, how would he expect a baby to understand that, right?
Yeah.
And then find it funny on top of that, right?
Yeah.
Because humor is so situational.
Mm-hmm.
Humor is really, like, it's a social construct.
It really is. And it's hard to get grip and understand.
Exactly.
And be good at it.
That's the hugest thing, because you've probably noticed, for those of you who are parents or who know little kids, right? A lot of elementary schoolers will try to make jokes, and they always just don't hit the mark, because
mm-hmm.
they don't have that sort of social idea as to what would be considered funny and when to make those jokes is really what it is.
Yeah.
And my Mitchell's avoidance moment is when he actually avoids calling Claire and he just doesn't want to call her. But my kind of second Gloria's vocab is Cam's line of, Mitchell, she's your family. Of course she's going to be judgmental and condescending.
Yeah.
Like, that just kind of is in the package.
Yeah. And so then, on the phone call with Claire and everything, Mitchell's like, oh, we just bonked Lily's head. She's not acting different. And Claire's like, relax. It happens. Luke used to bang his head all the time, and he's fine. And Mitchell's just like, oh, okay, yeah, that's great. Oh, that helps. Thank you so much. Oh my gosh. And then to Cam, he's like, we gotta take her to the doctor. Load up the car. Just because of the Luke comment.
Oh my gosh. I wonder, I'd be curious to see, if she hadn't compared him to Luke, would they still be taking her to the doctor for that?
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
If she had kept it general and just sort of said, oh, it happens, kids bump their head, as opposed to my kid bumps their head.
Yeah.
That would have been kind of funny to see.
Or even if she said Alex bumped her head, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's different, you know? Yeah, that would have been interesting.
I feel like with Alex, they would have been like, oh, she's totally fine.
Yeah, maybe we bumped some brains into her.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Instead of out of her. Anyways.
So then we move to Gloria and Jay after that kind of mean comment towards Luke.
Yeah. And then Jay says something like, oh, I just realized we dropped Manny off at school. And I just realized we dropped Manny off at school. And Gloria's like, oh boy, I thought we still had a few more years before the mine started to go. But the way she smiles after that, like, she's joking, and we know she is. But I didn't know.
For the longest time, I never saw the smile, and I thought she was honestly worried for him, right?
Yeah. And then, we go to, like, a couch moment, and Jay's like, oh, I wasn't a great husband. Oh my gosh. Jay's like, I wasn't the greatest husband the first time around, but I'm trying to do better this time, and maybe by my third marriage I'll have it down pat. The way Gloria is smiling and giggling until this line, and then gets really mad, is really funny. This is my favorite face. So, she makes, like, an angry face. Yeah. Kind of. She purses her lips in a frown and kind of, like, squints in anger and everything.
She gives him, like, the alligator eyes, kind of like a little glare. And
exactly.
This is also my favorite face because it's just amazing.
Yeah. It's also kind of funny, though, how she's allowed to make jokes about leaving him, but as soon as he does, she gets super mad. Like, double standards much? Like, girl.
Literally. Like, she'll say things that, what was that one that she said about, oh, well, blah, blah, blah will happen while I have my new husband and we're spending all your money. And
exactly.
He had just made kind of like, you know, a dig at her, rude comment kind of thing that
yeah.
She would say something like that too, which kind of warranted it. But at the same time, it's almost like this is the topic area that she is allowed to go into
and he's isn't.
Not.
Yeah, yeah.
Total double standards.
And then the way he realizes his mistake and is kind of like, yeah, that one's gonna cost me. Like,
<That's funny.
clears throat> he realizes what he said, but also, like, he shouldn't have to realize that.
It should just come to him naturally beforehand and be like, okay, these are almost, like, the areas I can't hit. You know, with people who have siblings, literally us.
Yeah.
You can tease them about everything. I tease her about bad driving. She teases me about other things. But, you know, there's areas that if you hit, you are a terrible person.
Yeah.
And when you hit those people, it's knife to the heart.
Yeah.
With those specific little areas that you just know you cannot touch. The areas that even your parents will, like, get into the fight on and be like, hey, you can't say that to your sibling.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But, I mean, also, like, he shouldn't have to be concerned about saying things to his wife, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
She should have just accepted it because she says the same thing to him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, it goes both ways. That's really what
exactly.
It is. It's the whole, if you want, it's the opposite of if you want people to be kind to you, you have to be kind to people. It's like, if you want to be able to tease people, you have to be able to
take
teased.
It. Yeah, yeah.
That's really what it is. So we move on to Claire and Phil.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Phil, oh my goodness, he thinks that he knows exactly what Claire wants.
Exactly.
But really, his inference of what she wants is just him kind of giving himself another reason to get the things he wants. Like how
exactly.
He uses the sports car example. That's
yeah.
Just something he wants. He's twisting her words to create what he wants.
Like he literally says, women will tell you what they want by telling you the opposite of what they want. That is not true at all. If I said to you, hey, could you pass me this thing? I wouldn't want you to put it as far away from me as possible, right? Like,
that's
I'm
what I would do.
Genuinely saying what I want you to do, right? It's a classic Phil.
Literally. But I love how Claire just follows up with, I just wanted to read my book.
I know, she's just trying to get rid of him. She just wants to relax and be alone, and he won't give up. And she's just like, oh, I just want to read. And that is so relatable. Oh my goodness.
My gosh. The way that Claire says to Phil, I'm not sure you can keep up with this conversation. It shows that, like we said earlier, Jay's not the only condescending one. Claire is condescending as well. And she gets it from Jay. She's condescending towards Phil. So it's like they're both condescending towards their partners.
Which is so weird. Like, you should respect your partner.
You totally should. But they both do the exact same thing. And it's just... It's like a family trait, almost, is how I think of it. Because Mitchell's condescending
Mitchell
towards
Mitchell does the
Sam.
Same thing. Yeah, it probably is a family trait.
Oh, my goodness. But, oh, my Haley's outfit is next. Phil's power walking outfit.
Oh, my gosh.
Is amazing. It's so over the top. Like, he's a middle-aged man, and he's got, like, the poles and the sweatband.
Mm-hmm.
And then you give the show, like, 2 seconds, and you see his shoes!
Made by a doctor.
Oh my gosh. They're insane. Like,
it's the kind of thing that, like, a doctor online would make and be like, oh, these shoes will help you
exactly.
In every way in your life. And it's just a scam.
Oh, it totally is. But it's such a Phil thing to own and purchase, like, to be honest.
And to actually wear out on the street.
Yes. Like, I'm surprised Claire's still married to him after all those things.
Literally.
Gosh. All right, so we move to Jay and Gloria. So yeah. This is when Gloria finds the poncho in the back of Jay's car. And this is my Claire's veto. Jay is so mean to Manny. He makes these terrible jokes that are totally unwarranted. And as I watched the show more and more, at the start I viewed it as it coming from a place of spite and hurtfulness.
And just like being at the stepfather kind exactly. of thing, right?
But then the more I watched it, and I really noticed this when I was doing these notes, is this is coming from a place of love.
Yeah.
He watched Mitchell get bullied for being different, and he doesn't mm-hmm. want Manny to go through the same things, which is what I think he's really trying to express, but he's just going about it in the wrong way. Which he should really be doing is going up to Gloria and saying, hey, this is what happened to Mitchell. I don't want this to happen to Manny. This is how we can fix it.
Yeah, and I'm concerned for him. I want him to have the best life and kind of thing, right?
Exactly, and then she can approach it how she thinks is fair.
Best for Manny.
Exactly.
I mean, Jay should be able to parent Manny a bit, because they do kind of, like, in the end, spoiler, Manny kind of looks up to Jay and everything, mm-hmm. right? But I also think he was not the greatest father. He was a little bit mean. So I think, yeah.
Yeah. And his excuse is always, I'm tough on the kid.
Yeah. And so then we go to, like, Mitchell's interview. And so Mitchell says, I kept the gay thing very under wraps. I was a guy's guy. I was basically a jock, which he was not. And he says this as it shows pictures of him when he was younger. And he looks very gay. So I don't know if they're actually real pictures of him when he's younger. I did try to search it up, but I didn't get a definitive answer. And so I'm just going to go with, I don't know, because I don't want to like say they are and be wrong. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, in the pictures, he's baking and then he's like just posing. But the way he's standing and his clothes and everything, like, not saying that baking is gay, just what he's wearing and the way he's standing and how he's doing it is very, very Mitchell.
It totally is. He's got, like, his hand on his hip and he's got, like, his hips cocked and I'm like, he's got his, like, his leg popped. But at the same time, I do kind of think if we looked at a picture of a bunch of kids from that era, is the placebo effect being used on us? So, because we're being told that this is young Mitchell, and it's being suggested to us that he was very clearly not a jock, we automatically assume, oh, haha, we can see that from his childhood. But in reality, this would have been like the 80s. Yeah. Didn't a lot of young boys, he's probably supposed to be like 10, wearing things like him and doing things like this? And so, the placebo effect, for those of you who don't know, is when an idea is suggested to you, and therefore you believe it to be true. Mm-hmm. An example, totally random example, is we are told that sugar makes us hyper. Mm-hmm. That is not entirely true.
Yeah.
Sugar is just glucose. So it just pretty much goes right through our system. Yeah. It doesn't actually make us hyper. Caffeine makes you hyper, depending on the person, but
yeah.
It usually makes you hyper. And so what we're really being told is, because we've been told that sugar makes us hyper, we will act hyper. But if you think, I just had a big bar of, I don't know, whatever, some chocolate bar or something, and I'm going to be hyper, you'll be hyper. If you are like, I'm going to be calm, everything's good, you're probably most likely going to be calm. Depending, mm-hmm. again, depending on who you are, and it's all situational, but that's a basic example of the placebo effect.
Yeah. Then we go back to Jay and Gloria, and they're talking about how, you know, Manny should be allowed to wear his poncho and everything, and Gloria's like, it's basically a cape that goes all the way around. And then she's like, nobody makes fun of Batman. And Jay's like, people didn't make fun of Batman because he was a muscular genius. Manny can't make it to the top bunk. Like, is there no ladder?
Or are they suggesting that Manny is so weak that he's unable to make it to the top of the ladder? Like, I don't know.
Bunk beds aren't that tall. It's like five steps.
Maybe five.
Yeah.
Like, are they really suggesting that he's so weak as to not be able to? I just, oh my goodness.
Yeah, gosh. Oh. Then we go to the Dunphy house, where Phil's about to challenge Claire to a race. And so she says, you seriously want to race me? I ran a half marathon last year. And Phil's like, wow, I'm half scared. Which, I mean, he genuinely should be scared. So this is my Alex's books. So in ancient Greece, A marathon was named after a 26.2-mile run that Pheidippides made because he was a courier, and he ran from the town of Marathon to Athens to announce the Greek victory over the Persians, and then died on the spot after running that. So I think running a half marathon is also crazy strong. Yes. And, like, he shouldn't be making fun of her for that kind of achievement, right? Yeah. And he's not a runner, as we've seen.
He's a power walker with his pools.
So
I'd just like to point out, we're not making fun of any people who enjoy power walking. We're just suggesting that it's not in comparison towards running.
For the characters in this show.
Yes, for the characters in this show.
Yes. Yeah.
And I just, I love their banter. It's really cute. And I know Claire finds it annoying, right? Like, her character does. But, yeah. Like, it's actually really cute. It shows that they still have some youthfulness, almost.
Yeah.
And even though, like, their kids are gone, and so they're able to kind of do this little, like, the little banter. I really like it. Especially the, wow, I'm half scared. And then she's like, all right, we're doing this. Like,
yeah, exactly.
They're adorable.
Next is
Cam and Mitch.
Back to Cam and Mitch, yeah. So they're talking about, like, looking after the eggs,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And so Mitchell talks about how he did it, and Cam's like, yeah, we did that in my school too. It didn't turn out so well. I went through a dozen eggs. And Mitchell's like, yeah, well, he's a nervous eater. And Cam's like, no, I broke a dozen eggs. And Mitchell's like, oh. Cam looks, like, kind of betrayed and everything. And Mitchell's like, I'm sorry, I just assumed that. And Cam's like, I know what you assumed.
But I almost don't understand what Cam is supposed to be feeling in this scene. I don't get it when he says the, I know what you assume, just sort of, like, looks down in a way. Like, I didn't see, like, sadness or shame or anything like that. I wasn't really sure what we were supposed to feel as the viewers to, like, his reaction.
Yeah. I kind of think that it's kind of him kind of being like, yeah, you know me, and I know that that's what you'd think, and mm-hmm. It's okay. I get why you would think that, but also just stop talking. Like, I kind of feel like that's kind of what he was kind of doing, because he was also kind of patting Mitchell's chair and being kind of like, okay, buddy. But yeah, I don't know. That's what I think.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. So then they go to the doctor, and, not on any level is Ghetto Fabulous medically relevant.
Exactly.
Like, that is not a medically relevant phrase.
Yeah. So, like, when they first get there, the doctor's like, yeah, there's no mark. And Cam's like, well, her head was protected. And the doctor's like, protected? Was she wearing a hat? And Mitchell's like, yes, yes, a hat. Like, he's just like, stop talking. And then Cam's like, no, it was a wig, actually. Sort of Ghetto Fabulous, you know? And then what you said.
Ghetto Fabulous afro thing.
Yeah. And then Mitchell's like, really? Because then he whispers, I thought it might be relevant, right? Mm-hmm. And so then Mitchell's like, really? You thought Ghetto Fabulous might be medically relevant? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just so kind of like, Cam is just so silly, right?
Yes.
Like, it's not relevant at all. He just wanted to, like, I don't know why he was telling her.
it's classic Cam right there. It's just amazing.
And then the way the doctor, probably assuming Lily's okay, but not even just assuming, she's a doctor, so she knows that Lily's okay.
Yes, oh yes.
She still gets Mitchell to hit his head against the door a couple times.
And this is after all of the Asian comments Cam keeps making. Like, okay, Cam, you have to stop. At this point, I don't know what he's doing anymore.
I think she might have done it because of the comments he made about Fa and, like, raising Lily right and everything. But also, like, why would she be okay with Mitchell doing it? Like, she got him to do it twice, which I think was, like, extra. And then, like, why wouldn't she be like, try?
Yeah. But, like, I don't understand why, like, the bow, when Cam bows to her, why that passed the cut for the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I think that's a bit too far.
And that's definitely 2009.
Oh, yes, very much so. Right? It's like, if they had done that near the end of the season, people would have been...
Yeah, I don't think the show, like, I don't think we'd cancel the show now because it was done in 2009. But if they did that kind of thing now, people would be pretty mad about that.
Especially because, like, nowadays, cancel culture has gotten crazy and excessive and toxic.
Yeah, crazy. So then we go to Manny's school.
And I noticed that the sign in the front says roughly, almost verbatim, the exact same thing it said last episode. And I find this kind of interesting because I recognize this school from other TV shows. I think they use that exact same, like, shot, how it's kind of like the pan shot with the sign, for other TV shows. And the fact that they didn't change the sign, I'm kind of like,
They probably just have, like, one shot of the school. Yeah. And just constantly use that same shot.
It was a different angle, though. But I could see them, you know, getting all the angles and then being able to splice it and put it in the show at different points.
Yeah, yeah.
Throughout Manny and Luke's middle school career kind of thing.
Exactly. And so then we go into a couch moment. And Gloria says, children need to know that you believe in them. It's the most important thing. If you tell them they have wings, they will believe they can fly. And Jay's like, oh, really? I had a buddy, went to Woodstock, believed he could fly. It didn't end well. Like, that's why hotel windows don't open anymore.
Like, what a horrible story. Just Gloria's talking about, like, believe in your children, this is so important. And then Jay just brings up this, like, tragic, morbid story traumatic. Out of nowhere. Yeah. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, Jay. Like,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's definitely like, oh, okay. That's fun.
Yeah.
And so then we go back to school and Manny comes into the classroom and he's like, is something wrong? Who's died? And Gloria's like, no one, Manny. And Jay's like, why would you even think that? And Gloria's like, well, in Colombia, Manny went to Pablo Escobar Elementary School. If you were pulled out of class, it was definitely to identify a dead body. Like, what? That just like kind of makes Jay think even more things about Colombia and how they're tripping over goats in the street, right? Like, he literally says that later on in, like, the next season or whatever.
Oh, that's terrible. But at the same time, it's classic Jay, right?
Oh, yeah. And then he, like, crushes Manny's flute. Like, okay.
And, I mean, it's kind of interesting that we look at it as when Jay's doing it, it's bad. But then Gloria jumps in, and we're like, oh, it must be fine then, right? Because Gloria's jumped in with her comment, my son will die a virgin.
Yeah.
So then we move to Cam and Mitch, and after their wonderful, heartfelt comment.
Yeah, Cam says, now who are amazing parents? And then they proceed to lock their baby in the car, all alone.
Honestly.
And then Cam's yelling through the window, Lily, it'll be okay. And Mitchell's like, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And Cam's like, what are you... Are you singing to her? And Mitchell's like, yeah, to keep her calm. Cam's like, people get arrested for this, Mitchell.
Like, imagine if you just were walking through, like, a Walmart parking lot and you see this random middle-aged man singing through a window and singing to a baby through glass. What is he doing?
Like, I mean, honestly, my first thought would probably be, oh, that's probably, like, the parent, right?
Hopefully!
But I would stick around and make sure. So now we're moving on to the Dunphys.
And this is when Claire and Phil are about to go for their run, and Alex and Luke arrive home. They step out of, like, a sketchy-looking black van. Yeah. Who drove them?
At least it's not a sketchy-looking white van.
That's true. But... who drove them? Like, they just get out of this car and the car drives away. I tried to get a good look at the driver. I mean, realistically, it's probably, like, another mom from the school.
Yeah, it's probably, like, meant to be a friend's parent, right?
Exactly.
But also, Claire's doing nothing all day. Why can't she pick up her kids?
Exactly. Like, it's the first day of school, right? Yeah. Like, I don't understand why she wouldn't go and pick them up. I do also see Claire as the type of mom who would be in some sort of, like, ride share sort of thing. Be probably driving around a bunch of other people's kids on, like, Tuesdays and it happens to be a Monday or whatever it is. Yeah. But at the same time, I'm like, who drove them?
Yeah.
And in other episodes, she makes comments to, like, Haley. She's like, oh, and remember, Rose's mom is picking you up today. Things like that. Yeah. And there was nothing about that. I find that amusing.
Yeah.
And then, I love how the race comes back in later episodes.
Oh,
like,
gosh.
Like, this becomes a constant thing after the fact.
Yeah. So then we're moving to Tucker Pritchett.
Yes.
And so they've just locked their kid in the car, right? So Mitchell's on the phone.
Singing to her.
No, he's not singing to her. Mitchell's on the phone trying to get somebody to unlock the car. I'm not sure how that works. Like,
yeah, me neither.
But anyways, that's not what's important. So the voice on the phone says, so we hear Cam yelling in the background, right? And the voice on the phone says, sir, please tell your wife to relax. Everything's going to be okay. And Mitchell's like, that's a man. And the voice is like, really? The shock in the voice? Like, that's kind of funny.
I also find it's kind of weird, right? Because the voice automatically assumes, one, it's a woman, and two, that it's his wife. What if it was, I don't know, his mother, his sister, a random woman walking by who just so happened to realize you've locked your kid.
Breaking the glass?
Yes, yeah. Like, and they're just trying to help you. Like, they just automatically assume those two things, right? And what Mitchell jumps onto is the fact that it's a man.
Yeah.
He doesn't jump onto the fact as to how, why would you automatically assume all these things, right?
Yeah.
It's one thing if he had said, my partner and I, and the woman, like, the person on the phone assumed wife. Like, that's still bad, but in those days, I mean, I guess I could see that happening.
In those days. It's literally, like, not even...
It's, like, not even 20 years ago. It's, like, what? Just over 10 years ago.
Yeah.
15 years. It's 15 years.
That's crazy. That's crazy. It's been 15 years since
the show started.
2009? That's... Wow. That's insane.
We then move to the Dunphy's house, and... Earlier, they referred to them that they were running to the mailbox on Sequoia, but now Claire says they're running to Johnny Skeeple.
Yeah, so she says she doesn't want to lose a race to Johnny Skeeple, but she's talking about Phil.
What?
She's saying she doesn't want to lose the race to Phil. She's making a joke and calling him Johnny Skeeple because that's the brand name. Johnny Skeeple is the brand name of, like, the poles that I saw he used to walk with.
So his power walking, she's... calling him by the name of his power walking poles. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And so she's just kind of being rude, but joking about how she doesn't want to lose to him.
Claire is so witty. She's amazing.
So she's also, like, feeling really great about the race, right? Like, she knows she's got it in the bag, but then when she sees his shirt with a picture of him and the kids that says World's Greatest Dad, she realizes that he's the one who's having trouble, that the kids are back to school, and that it would mean everything to him if he won the race. She knows, unlike him, what he wants without him saying it, right?
And I think that's really sweet, right? I feel like when she sees the shirt, that's what switches her. Like, if you're thinking about writing a story, right, you have, like, your turning points. So her seeing his shirt is her turning point. And that's when we kind of see her, like, slow. And it's cute how she lets him win.
Yeah, and you can obviously tell, though, that she stops, like, basically to let him pass so that he can win. It's so obvious because she, like, basically stops running, literally.
Yes.
And then, like, starts to jog again. But as you said, she's gonna regret it later.
Oh, yes, she will. But because he gets cocky about it. But
it's
so endearing because, like, the way that she lets him win is just, it's so sweet. And especially with her comment, the first day of school is tough on all my kids, especially the one I married, because Phil is such a kid. And
he
really love the smile on her face as she lets him pass and win. Almost like his win is her win. That's really what it is. And that's what it really is. And that's what marriage should be, right?
Yeah.
Like, his win should be her win.
Exactly. They should share wins, right? It shouldn't be like, oh, finally, I won. It should be like, we won.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So then they get back and Phil wins and he's celebrating, right?
Do you believe in miracles? USA! USA! Oh, my God!
Yeah.
And that's why we named our episode Do You Believe in Miracles? Because who would have believed that Phil would win? When I watched this for the first time, I was like, this is just sad. Claire's gonna win.
Oh, yeah. But the oh my God is because he gets hit by a car.
And this is my Cam's flamboyant moment. Like, the way that Haley runs over Phil, in a sense, isn't realistic. Like, if she were to actually hit him with her bumper, he would more fold over the bumper, like, the top part of his body, and maybe his feet would be kicked out from under him, right?
Or, like, just straight up fall backwards, right?
Exactly. He'd probably fall over the bumper first because the speed she was going at wasn't very fast. But what happens is he, like, climbs onto the car and then somehow manages to roll over it and all the way.
Yeah,
and I'm kind of like, that's my Cam's flamboyance moment. And
then
not only that, but the fact that he just gets up and walks away from it.
Literally. Like, Haley's like, oh, Jesus. Oh, my. What was that? Was that a person? And then Phil just stands up and he's like, I'm good. And she's like, Dad? Like, yeah, the way he just stands up. And then as he's walking away, he's like, you're getting better, sweetheart. After she just hit him with her car. She's not getting better.
No, not at all.
100% not.
But Claire's narration at the end is so sweet, right? How she recognizes all these things about her family, and it goes and it shows, like, Cam and Mitch, and then, like, Gloria and Jay watching Manny do his dance. It's really sweet. And then we get our last final scene with Haley driving and the mixed messages from Claire and Phil.
Gosh, yeah.
how Claire's like, all right, so just this time Claire's being a calm one. She's like, we just gotta pull over, you know, there's a cop. And Phil's like, keep moving, sweetheart. It's like, really, Phil? That's what you want to teach your freshly 16-year-old daughter? You're gonna teach her to evade the cops in a vehicle?
Run away from the police.
And yeah. Literally, like, it's such a terrible messaging, and I love Claire's reaction. She's like, Phil!
Yeah, she's like shocked. She's like, no, we have to stop! Yes. And Phil's like, no, I have parking tickets!
And then, like, how at that point, the tension isn't between, like, Claire and Haley. It's between Claire and Phil. Yeah. And how they're fighting back and forth. And Haley, you can tell that she's just getting overwhelmed as she's trying to drive them all.
And drive away from the police.
Exactly. But also, if you think about it, this is kind of unrealistic. Well, at least here. I'm not sure about America. But here, when you're an L, you need one person who knows, like, has the full-on driver's license over 25. And then you can only have one other passenger.
So no matter whether they're family or not.
Exactly. And if they can are full-on driver or not. So how does she have
her whole family?
Her whole family. Like, she could have Claire, Phil, and her. Or she could have her, Claire, and Alex. Or her, Claire, and Luke. But she can't have all of them. So I'm not really, I'm not sure about America. It may be different, right?
Yeah.
But that I found kind of interesting. And also,
I think that's very much for the show.
Oh, yes.
And just for, like, the final scene, right?
Definitely. Yeah. But also, within the car, right, she's got Claire next to her, which makes sense, right, because Claire's the person who can drive. And then the middle seat is Alex and Luke, and Phil is in the very back.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they put Luke in the very back, like, size-wise? I don't understand that.
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense. It's kind of like, because then Phil's, like, in between the seats so he can be seen, right? But also, it's kind of like, why is he, like, squished into the back?
And it looks awkward.
Yeah,
like, he really looks really squished in there. I'm just not really sure.
So, my other thing, though, is maybe this was her N, because she's taking driving lessons, not, like, just learning how, but, like, trying to get better, right?
Possibly.
Like, I took driving lessons for my N, right?
Yeah, maybe she's older than 16.
Well, maybe. Oh, but I guess if she is 16, because I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Because with your N, you can drive as many people as you want, right? Especially family members.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you have to have a person who can drive, and then you can drive have as many people as you want.
Yeah.
As many family members as you want. So that doesn't make sense. Yeah, it really doesn't make sense.
I'm really not sure about that one.
Yeah. Anyways, but so yeah, as in the scene that we're talking about, I never before realized that it was a cop on a motorcycle. Like, I always knew there was a cop. I heard the sounds and I was like, okay, cool. But this time I actually was looking. I mean, I am before, but anyways, I was really paying attention. And if you look, you can actually see like a motorcycle helmet and a person in the back window. Like, you can see the cop through the back window, which is so interesting.
I never realized that. I didn't think to look for something like that, because I guess as I thought about it more, I assumed that's why Phil was in the back, to hide the back window so that they could just have the cop, like, the siren sound, as opposed to having to have a person. But the fact that that's actually there.
Yeah, and he's, like, kind of, like, leaning to the side a little bit so you can see the, like, cop back there.
Yeah.
It's so interesting.
And that also suggests that there is a possibility that they're actually on a road, like you were saying earlier.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, it would be hard to green screen a real person and, like, look genuinely real.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's usually, like, big crowds, not, like, a singular person.
But exactly.
Yeah. It's interesting. That's all for today's episode.
Join us next week for Modern Cult, a Modern Family podcast, which will be season 1, episode 7, On Guard.
You can find our podcast episodes on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, where we will be putting out new episodes every second Monday.
Just search up Modern Cult, a Modern Family podcast, and please follow us on Instagram at moderncult_podcast.
Please feel free to reach out. We would love to hear from you and your thoughts on the episodes and maybe some of your favorite moments.
Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. We've enjoyed reading the positive reviews.
Thank you so much, and tune in next week for Season 1, Episode 7, On Guard.